Good evening and welcome to another edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio, where there's basketball every night. Welcome back, everybody. Our Sport Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. Okay, the upcoming sports schedule, here's the deal. Just stick around. We'll be on with a basketball game here in a few minutes. We're going to be up in Horton, Class 2A, boys tonight. We'll be talking about all of this. And then tomorrow and Saturday, 2A, and then next week, well, we'll see what the fortunes bring, and we'll be following teams to state. That said, Gus Scout's with me, and, hard to believe, here we are, not just starting, we're in mid-stride of the sub-states around the area.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe. I mean, we're to the point where, you know, we're in quarterfinals. A good amount of teams have already packed their stuff away for the year. And
over half.
And starting to turn their attention to spring sports. And so it's kind of crazy. I mean, and we always talk about it, right? This time of the year, you look out the window and all of a sudden the sun's still out, right? And it just feels like yesterday that we were getting here and it was dark and it was, you know, kind of gloomy. It's starting to feel a little more like spring.
I know when we're into the postseason time, as I drive to basketball games without headlights.
Yeah, see? It's kind of a good feeling. So, and this is probably one of my favorite times, right? I love tournament basketball because of that whole anything can happen, any team can win kind of a scenario. And I think you're starting to see that unfold in these sub-states, and that's what kind of makes this time of the year fun.
Yeah, let's jump into the sub-states. We'll start right with Class 5A because it's pertinent to the area and to some extent as 5A East Side. Let's start with we got the guys up right now, and a lot of the fans right here, they've seen Highland Park once, maybe twice, as they've played the Phoenix a couple of times this year. Highland Park, Gus, if I were to tell you Highland Park is good, it would be one of my great understatements because they are really, really, really good. Currently, now 21-0, they won last night in the sub-state over Lansing, just getting by the Lions 90-26.
Yeah, I mean, they're able to get up and down the floor, put some points on the board, and they're going to be a tough out when it comes to 5A state tournament.
Yeah, they're going to end up playing on Saturday against St. James Academy for the right to go on to the state tournament. St. James over Topeka Seaman last night, 51-41. Other sub-states you saw, DeSoto defeating Leavenworth last night. It was Blue Valley Southwest over Bonner Springs. Piper falls to Baser Linwood. Sumner Academy, a team familiar to Phoenix fans, with a good win as they knocked off St. Thomas Aquinas last night, 59-54.
There's your 11-6.
Yeah, see, you talked about the upsets. Pittsburgh didn't have any difficulty with Spring Hill, and it was Shawnee Heights down at Tecumseh over conference opponent Kansas City, Washington, 67-29.
Yeah, I mean, you start looking up and down. One of the bigger upsets in that Class 5A was Baser Linwood, right? They made a short road trip and knocked off Piper. Baser, the 14 seed, moves on to play Sumner, who is an 11. So instead of 3 versus 6 is what you would anticipate, you're going to now get a 14 versus an 11, and one of those teams is going to the state tournament.
Yeah. How cool is that?
Yeah. So, again, that's what I'm talking about. I enjoy this time of the year.
Now, do you want to go all the way through boys, or do you want to go 5A, then 4A, cover boys, girl, like that? How do you like to do it?
Dealer's choice.
Okay, here we go. 5A girls' side. We'll just flip over to the ladies' side. And it was Tuesday games and on the girls' side. It was Topeka Seaman over Schlegel and Kansas City Piper over Sumner Academy. Tell you what, Schlegel, not the best team in the world at 1-15, Topeka Seaman pretty good at 19-1. It was a 73-11 thing.
Yeah, it was kind of your 1-16, right? You're not going to see an upset in that game very much. And then you drop down to that 8-9 ball game. It was not overly competitive, right? As the 9 came away with a 63-38 win, as Piper moves on, so Piper will play Topeka Seaman.
What I feel like you see at this time of the year, particularly in the earliest rounds, you see that the records don't indicate how good a team is, the competitiveness of a schedule against whom you play, the conference in which you participate, all those things. Now, coaches have been telling you all year, you know, you're playing good teams, we're getting better for the end of the year. As a kid, sometimes it's really hard to see because you end up getting beat by some really good teams. And then you come to this part of the year and you find out, you know what? Coach was right.
Yeah, sometimes coaches sometimes. Know what they're talking about, right? You know. You drop down to Substate 2 where St. Thomas Aquinas over Lansing, and it was Spring Hill getting by Base for Linwood 50-39. So, again, there you're going to hold seeds as a 2 will play a 7.
Yeah, and you hold all the way the rest of the way through. It's going to be Highland Park Girls with Shawnee Heights as they both win in the first round, and Bonner Springs is going to have St. James Academy. So you go right down the line, 1 through 8, with W's on the girls' side in a Class 5A.
Yeah, St. James able to knock off another Meadowlark team, Kansas City, Washington. And I'm telling you, that St. James team can score a lot of points. They were able to get 80 on the board. So
80 a lot.
A big win for them.
80's a bunch.
Drop down to 4A on the East.
Yeah, you want to go girls' side or guys first? Girls first, here we go.
It's fresh on your mind.
Yeah, well, Substate 1, how about Wamego, the number one seed? They will continue to hold out as they had a little difficulty with Iola last night, 73-17, and they're going to end up playing. Here's the tough draw, okay? You talk about an 8-9. The 8 comes through is Bishop Miege, the, you know, what, quintuple state champions from Miege as they get by Ottawa 57-17 last night. Miege is the best 8 seed in the state of Kansas. Can you argue with me?
No. Nope. I'm going to go right there and just agree with you. And a lot of that is, when you stop and you pull apart that Miege schedule, there are a lot of big-time teams that you just sit there and you go, man, yeah, right? So they play Shawnee Mission East. They went to Jeff City and played Helias. Right? That's a pretty good school. St. James, St. Thomas Aquinas. Then you go to Oklahoma and play Choctaw High School for some reason. I mean, you're just trying to find games. You go over to St. Louis earlier this year and you played Incarnate Word. And so, yeah, you're filling up that schedule. You go to North Kansas City. Why not play St. Pius X? And there are just some big names on that schedule. And you're playing some big schools. Of course, you can't pay attention to that record.
So that's going to be a really good game. It is going to be in Wamego Saturday at 6 o'clock. Number one seed Wamego and Bishop Miege. That would be a peach to watch, I would think.
Yeah, and you got to think, if you're a Wamego coach, fan, supporter, you're not exactly thrilled with that draw, right? Like, as a one seed, you're hoping for a little easier road to the state tournament.
Most of the seeds held true in 4A girls, as you found Fort Scott over Coffeyville. It was Hayden last night, the game you heard on Care Radio, getting by the Atchison Phoenix. Substate 3 finds Independence, the 3 seed, moving on. A low-scoring 37-29 game. And then, because no surprise to Phoenix fans, Labette County out of Altamont, an 11th seed, beats 6th seed Baldwin, 46-38. We saw Labette County up here in the Atchison Gym just a few weeks ago. I'm telling you what, that team is really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded like they were pretty good. They came away with a win in that ball game, and now they're going to get a, goodness, what I can only imagine is a somewhat close game for them, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're talking a few miles apart.
Right. I mean, like, if anybody were close to Independence, it's Labette County. Yes. I'm sure they've probably already played this season. And then you drop down to Substate 4, and the Lewisburg ladies knocked off Chanute 51-39. They're going to get Parsons. That's another pretty close trip as Parsons knocked off Holton.
Yeah.
63-54.
So there you have girls in Class 4A. You go to Class 4A on the guys' side. Well, Atchison, they didn't have any trouble in round one with Coffeyville, as it was an 81-48 win for the Phoenix. And they now, the guys, are going to play Hayden. And that will be tomorrow night up in the Atchison Gymnasium, a 7 o'clock ball game, as Topeka Hayden, the 9 seed over 8 seed Parsons by 20-plus.
Yeah, Hayden playing good basketball right now. Atchison scoring 81 points in their win over Coffeyville in the first game. So, again, they're hitting on all cylinders. Coach Battle has that team playing their best basketball right now.
I think there's no question about it. Substate 2 holds true. Eudora over Independence. Wamego beats Ottawa. So, Eudora-Wamego is going to play in Eudora Friday. it was Baldwin getting by Iola and Holton. How about the Holton guys as they knocked off Fort Scott 61-54? They will be meeting in Baldwin Friday at 7. And then, again, one upset at the bottom of the bracket. Miege guys, now it's no surprise as they came through with a win over Lewisburg. But, again, it's Labette County, Gus, as a 12-5. They defeated Chanute.
Again, we talked about it earlier. It's playing that difficult schedule early on goes a long ways at the end of the season. It might not help you on your seeding, but it sure helps you knock off some of those teams. And Labette County, you know, they gave Atchison a nice push in that ball game and had no problems with Chanute. Now they're going to try their hand at Miege, who, like you mentioned a moment ago, rolled up 87 points. So
we're going to turn over to Class 3A now, and the geography in this has been gerrymandered so badly, we're going to be looking basically at two substates here, the Maryville substate and the Perry LeCompton substate in Class 3A. And so, with that said, we're going to just start with the boys since, I don't know about you, but I've got them up on my screen first, and the Class 3A Marysville substate, Sabetha over Minneapolis, it was Nemaha Central over Concordia. Marysville beats Hiawatha, and ACCHS handled Riley County, so at Marysville tomorrow night, it will be Sabetha and Nemaha Central in Marysville, ACCHS. Atchison County will be playing the 6 o'clock game in Marysville Friday.
Yeah, so you got a 1 versus a 5. So basically held suit, right?
Yeah.
A 4 over a 5, or a 5 over a 4 is not that shocking. And then you've got a 2-3 matchup on that Marysville game.
Yeah,
the 6 o'clock game.
So ACCHS now, how about this? 14-7. So Coach Smith and his guys having a great run. A quick look over at 3A at Perry LeCompton. It was number one seed Bishop Ward over Rossville, and number 4 Heritage Christian defeats Royal Valley. Bottom half of the bracket, Perry LeCompton with a win, and it was Silver Lake in a surprise win the other night, a game you heard on Care Radio over MHMA. So the 3A substate at Perry LeCompton, Friday night games, tomorrow night's games, 6 o'clock. It'll be Bishop Ward and Heritage Christian, and the 7 o'clock game will be Perry LeCompton and Silver Lake, and those are going to be the 3A games for Friday night in the Perry LeCompton substate. Now, when we flip over to the ladies' side, we're going to go right back up top side, and we'll go back to Marysville, where the number one seed ACCHS just throttled Marysville in game 1 in Effingham. They're going to be meeting Riley County at 6 o'clock tonight, okay? 6 o'clock tonight in Marysville, Lady Tigers and Riley County. The 7:30 ball game, it'll be Nemaha Central and Hiawatha. Couple of big 7 opponents. How many times have they played this year, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, right now you're looking at a 1 versus a 4, and on the bottom side you're going to have 2-6. So Minneapolis losing to Hiawatha was kind of the upset right there. But so many people, and again, Riley County and Hiawatha have a lot to say about this, but a lot of people have been talking for a while now. They've been trying to figure out that ACCHS Nemaha Central championship game, right? I mean, I feel like since Christmas break, people have been saying, you know, oh, they're going to be 1-2. I mean, and honestly, going into the last game, we kind of thought Nemaha Central was probably going to be 1, ACCHS was 2, and then Nemaha Central drops that last game.
To Riverside,
and you flip-flop that, right? And so you've seen Riverside this year, the girls, and you've also seen the other team that beat Nemaha Central this year, and that was the Hayden girls. So, again, it'll be interesting to see if, you know, all this holds true. But, you know, next week, it's kind of crazy that we'll be talking about state tournament brackets and what teams won these substates.
Now, I got to ask you a quick question, then we're going to go to the Perry LeCompton substate for the girls. But you're talking about the Nemaha Central ACCHS, 1-2, 2-1, 1-2, back and forth. Does it make a bit of difference?
No.
Does it make any difference at all? You're playing the first game at home. You're ultimately, maybe your second game may vary a little bit, but probably doesn't matter because it's still going to be the 1-2 you would expect coming to the end, no matter who's 1 and who's 2.
Yeah. Nope. Other than if you like a jersey.
Yeah, I suppose. You can sell the gear, you know,
yeah,
that says we won.
Yes.
Hey, Class 3A Substate in a Perry LeCompton. Coming up in moments at the top of the hour, Marhill Mount Academy is going to be playing Silver Lake. Okay, MHMA defeated Bishop Ward in their first round game. Silver Lake knocked off Royal Valley. So it'll be Silver Lake, Atchison County at Perry LeCompton coming up here at 6 o'clock. The 7:30 game on the girls' side out at Perry, it'll be Jeff West and Rossville. Jeff West, the surprise, okay? And probably their upset over Heritage Christian, maybe the best sub-state first round game in the state of Kansas.
Yeah, they beat him, what, 39-38?
Yes.
And I think, again, maybe that goes back to the whole discussion we always have, right? Who is Heritage Christian playing, right? What does their schedule look like? Because I can tell you, Jeff West, night in and night out, are playing some really tough opponents. So, you know, for Jeff West to come away, awesome win for them. They now go to 6-15 and move on to, what, the semifinals?
Yeah.
I guess, if you would.
And, of course, Heritage Christian, we got to throw it in there. They're head coached by former Lady Raven Liz Stinson, who's been there for a while and does a very, very good job with that Heritage Christian team. But, again, the Big Seven competition probably holds true and sets that one up. Where else we got to get to?
I think there's a place you have to go to.
You know, wait a minute. Is there another sub-state going on around the state of Kansas?
Just possibly, and you just want to start on the guy's side right there, since that's probably the one coming up here in, like, minutes?
Okay, here we go. Sub-state bracket. Let me pull up the boys' side first, because that is what we're going to be looking at here. Yeah, at 6 o'clock on Kent Radios, we're going to have Jefferson County North and Riverside. JCN beat Republic County in game one. Riverside, a 5-4 upset over Valley Heights. So we will have JCN Riverside at 6 o'clock here on K-Radio from the 2A Boys Substate in Horton. And then the second game, we'll also have it, the 7:30 pairing of Horton, the host team, and Valley Falls. So that is that's going to be a really interesting, really fun substate, and it has got a real NEKL flavor.
Yeah, and so you kind of wonder from a coach's standpoint, and every coach is going to be probably a little different on how they feel about this, but do you like playing, you know, teams from your own league when the games really matter? Because my guess would be no. And the reason I say that is because nobody knows you better than those teams, right? Because they see you multiple times a year and have seen you for multiple years. That's why I kind of like to step out and play a team that is not overly familiar with me and all they've got is a few game tapes on me. So, again, it's kind of crazy, but this substate, you mentioned it, has a very NEK feel with JCN at one. You got Horton, the 2 seed, Valley Falls, the 3 seed, and the one team that's not is Riverside, and they're a team that will be looking for a league, and so, you know, you never know.
Well, we're going to touch on exactly the point that you just brought up. How many times can you play a team in a year and lose to them and lose to them, and then you know them really well? You think you found a chink in the armor? Class 2A girls substate, first round in the Horton substate. Riverside wins. They knock off Republic County. No surprise. Yeah, a little surprise, a 5-4. Valley Heights beat Pleasant Ridge, 39-32. It was the number 2 seed Jackson Heights. Zero trouble with Horton. They move on. And then you had the 3-6 matchup. JCN had won first game. JCN won the second game between these two. But in the sub-state, Valley Falls put together a 10-point fourth quarter lead and went to a 42-37 win. So the Lady Dragons will be playing in the semifinals of the 2A Substate in Horton tomorrow night. And, of course, we're going to have those games on K-Radio also. Riverside Valley Heights at 6, Jackson Heights Valley Falls girls games at 7:30 tomorrow night from Horton. So,
Valley Heights, what are they, like the Mustangs or something?
Yes. Yes, yeah, so exactly. They got this great big horse. It looks like Mile High Stadium, you know, the guy up on his rear legs. That's, yeah. They got one of those right in front of the building out there.
All
right,
so you got Cyclones, Mustangs.
Yeah.
What? Cobras, Dragons.
Yeah. Pretty good mascots, yeah, you know. Yeah. It's not your normal run-of-the-mill Lions, Tigers, and Bears, oh my. So there, I think, is there anywhere else that we need to go? I think we've kind of covered the bulk of it here tonight. Go to mscsports.net. Check your brackets. Check the upcoming sports schedule. But games every night. And then, of course, championship games on Saturday. And next week on K-Radio, we're going to be... Where are we going to be? We could be at the sports arena, maybe Bramlage, maybe... I mean, who knows where? So... Maybe Emporia? Who's to say? We'll be back. Sports Talk rolling along on a Thursday right after this. Welcome back to Sports Look here on Kent Radio on a Thursday evening. High school hoops coming up at the top of the hour, but right now, Gus, a little bit of a little reflection time. We're going to look back at the Benedictine Ladies in the Heart of America women's basketball season. For some teams, it continues. For most teams, it does not. Lady Ravens ending up the year 6-16 in the conference, 9-19 overall. A really good conference that is going to put, I'm saying, 4 in the national tournament, yeah? Maybe 5. 4 for sure.
Yeah, and it's going to be really interesting to see just how these are all going to play out. So Central Methodist, of course, number one team in the nation. They're undefeated. They're 31-0, 22-0 in the conference. I think they're safe. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Clark, I would put them in at 27-4. I think Grandview gets in at 21-8. I think Mid-America probably gets in at 21-8. So four teams are in. Yeah. Culver Stockton's knocking on the door, but 19-11. I just don't think it's probably good enough to get there. So, yeah, I think you're probably safe with four, saying Central Methodist, Clark, Grandview, and Mid-America.
Yeah, and that said, I mean, I think that we have been saying this since probably November. Central Methodist is your future national champion this year. I just cannot imagine. We've seen a little college girls basketball over the years, right? I've seen a lot of good teams. Not really good teams. A lot of teams that weren't so good. I don't know if I've seen one any better than the Central Methodist team is this year. They are the real deal. They cover all the bases along with an experienced coach. They're just good.
Yeah, and they're the only undefeated team, right? Like every year it feels like there's two maybe but only one undefeated team on the ladies' side, and that was Central Methodist. Campbellsville, Kentucky had one loss, and Loyola of Louisiana had one loss. But, yeah, for the Heart of America, I feel like they're probably going to be hanging a nice red banner in Puckett Fieldhouse at the end of this season. And you start looking around, we've now got the host locations for the postseason tournaments, and... I'll tell you, I don't know exactly where Central Methodist is going to end up because you start looking at what's the closest place to these people. Oh, never mind. They got one of the host locations. They're going to host a pod at Central Methodist.
Well, it doesn't get any better than that, does it?
Yeah, so Clark is also going to get a pod with the hosting games in Dubuque. Indiana Wesleyan, you've been there. They're going to get a pod. So
yeah.
The KCAC is going to hold theirs at Park City. And
at Hartman Arena then?
It just says Park City.
Yeah, that's going to be at Hartman.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they're also going to hold one in Wichita.
Okay, and if it's like the guys was last
Coke.
Year, Big Friends?
Okay,
remember?
Yeah, that's right. So, but yeah, those are the women's ones. And then the KCAC is also holding a men's one, but we'll talk about that here in a minute.
There you go. The conference season's wrapped up. Central Methodist, both the regular and postseason tournament champions. And the conference is going to be very well represented in the national tournament. We're going to be back. More Sports Look right after this. Welcome back to Sports Look here on Care Radio as we shift our focus now to a brief recap of the Heart of America Athletic Conference and men's college basketball, where William Penn, Gus, who knocked the Ravens off in the postseason tournament in an overtime thriller. That's the only team. Benedict is the only team that gave William Penn any kind of a run. And Penn then, of course, hosts every game in a conference tournament and goes on to the postseason title to end the season at 28-3.
Yeah, and that's a Penn team who... Last segment, we talked about Central Methodist girls, right? 31-0, they look the part. They are the best team we've seen all season. They're going to be tough to not win the national tournament. Can I tell you, Penn is 28-3, 21-1 in the conference, and their lone loss in the conference came to Baker late in the season. I don't think this William Penn team is winning the championship.
No. And they're going to win a game. Maybe they're going to win a couple of games. They're not going to get beyond that.
But I think, yeah, I think they have too many holes. And I think if teams watch what Benedictine was able to do against them. Now, again, it's tough to replicate Coach Moody's defense, right? Because he is able to hold a lot of teams down and play patient and discipline basketball. But there are teams that can beat this, you know, William Penn team. And, again, a couple calls up in Oskaloosa, Iowa a week ago, and Benedictine could have come out of that with a victory.
Yeah, maybe one.
Yeah, you know, and so I think that William Penn, they are the conference champion, but I feel they're a little vulnerable this year.
I don't think there's any question about it. This is not as good a Penn as we have seen in some seasons past. Mm-hmm. By just the sheer athleticism of players from 1 through 8, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got some size with Daly. He's a big guy. Doesn't last very long. He's, you know, he gets winded pretty quick.
I mean, he's not fast.
He's not real versatile, but he's big.
But you're also to the time of the season where other teams have that guy, too.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you're going to see another team.
You're not the only 6'11 guy out
right,
there.
Right, he's going to put out a 7-footer, you know, that has transferred in from North Carolina or something. Because, I mean, it's just that time of the year.
So, anyway, into the conference or into the national tournament from this conference, I suspect there are there five? There are four for sure with Penn, Peru at 24-7, Baker and Evangel each with 22 wins. I think all four of those are clearly deserving of getting into the national tournament. Mid-America, a 20-9 team. Man, if you use 20 as your benchmark, you'd be hard pressed to keep them out. So do they get in five?
You know what's crazy is I think they do get in five, but for me, How much difference does one game make? Because if we were talking about Mid-America right now being 21-8, I'd say they're in.
Yes.
Right? But 20-9 just kind of sits right on that benchmark, and it just doesn't hit the ear quite like 21-8 does. But I think that Coach Hepker gets Mid-America into the national tournament probably in his first year. So, again, it's kind of crazy. We'll be keeping an ear out for that. The host sites for the pods, real quick, flying down through here. Oskaloosa, Iowa is going to get one with William Penn. And I thought, yeah, maybe that's the only close one. So you're going to get that one. Indiana Tech is going to get one in Fort Wayne. You're going to get Park City and Wichita. So those are kind of your close ones. And yeah, so I think that, you know, William Penn stays home and the other teams will probably end up hopefully around the Wichita area.
Well, best of luck to the teams around the conference, and we will be wishing them well and keeping an eye on how they do. We're coming back. Sports Hook continues. Don't forget, basketball coming up here at 6 o'clock on Care. Back with you here on Sports Look, the NFL Combine is going on right now. Gus, is the combine as important, more important, less important than evaluating players who have played a full college or season or a full college career? Does it matter? Is it important?
I think for the combine, the biggest thing right now is the interviews, right? Like, there are some guys that are going to put themselves on the radar because there's going to be, you know, somebody who benches through the roof or is fast on the three-cone shuttle. I mean, but at the end of the day, it's a good opportunity for all the teams to get together and talk to some of those people, right? Like a Dontari Poe. When the Chiefs took him in the first round that year out of Memphis, people had heard of Dontari Poe, but he was looking like he was a third round, maybe a late second round type pick. All of a sudden, he goes to the combine and puts up freakish numbers, and all of a sudden, he flies up the charts, and he's, you know, right up there with the best, you know, defensive lineman that year. I think it also is going to make a difference for maybe some of these quarterbacks. Every year it feels like there's a guy who, oh, he's a second, third rounder, and then he goes to the combine, and you're talking about him as a top 3-4 type quarterback. The other thing is, and we're not really going to jump into it, but the Georgia defensive lineman who was looking to be the number one overall pick, who left the draft yesterday, was back at the draft this morning because there were some questions to be answered. I think those are the guys that, you know, need to be at the combine because teams are going to want to talk to people and say, hey, if you had any kind of a something in your past, this is your chance to get in front of teams and say, hey, that was in.
Do they have
now
those conversations? Do they set them down in a little room and say, okay, look, young man, Is there anything that you want to tell us that you think we should know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and they do, and because you find out, you know, interviews, things come out, you know, you talk about the Travis Kelce stuff when he was back going through the draft. You talk about Justin Houston when he was going into the draft. So, yeah, I think this is your best chance to jump in front of those teams and say, hey, pick me because the things in my past shouldn't, you know, define me. And so it gives you a chance one-on-one with those coaches versus if you're just a name on a whiteboard and there's 10 guys sitting around a table, they say, okay, well, I don't want to deal with him, so let's just mark it off and move on. Now you got a shot to say, hey, here's who I am and what I can be for your team. And you think about it, these teams are also not just watching the players right now. This is where a lot of your trades are going to get facilitated. We talked about last week on Sports Look. I'm going to tell you, I think the Ravens are probably at the combine listening to what teams are going to say about, you know, a guy like Lamar Jackson, you know, because the Packers with a guy like Aaron Rodgers. This is your chance to say, hey, anybody want to talk about so-and-so, come find me.
That said, there are going to be some teams tagging franchise guys.
Yeah, so for the Kansas City Chiefs, I think the one guy everybody's looking at is it'll probably be Orlando Brown Jr. because
okay.
Why not?
If I'm OBJ, am I mad about it?
Yeah.
I think so.
Because you want your payday. Now, don't get me wrong, he's going to get 20% over the tag of what he got last year, which is still a really nice number. But he wants to sign a big contract and, you know what his future is. I also wouldn't be shocked if Kansas City's walking around Indianapolis right now saying, what would somebody give me for a guy like Orlando?
I'm shopping him.
Yeah, because, again, you sign him to the franchise, you ship him back out for another first-round pick or something, and you move on. Because, again, he played really good in the playoffs, but I think you can get better at that position. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's who the Chiefs will franchise. I also think the Ravens will go after Lamar Jackson. So,
for me, the biggest thing with OBJ is, like, it's not like I didn't think he did an okay job, because when motivated, I thought he was really good. The problem is, I want a guy there who really is happy to be there, wants to be there, and likes to be there, and I don't think he cares about any of that.
Nope. It's just about, you know, yeah. The dollars, and I'm telling you.
What'd you say, Tyreek?
Yeah, he would be happy playing in Denver and losing nine games
clears.
A year, as long as the check clears. So, yeah, I think that's where a lot of that comes. Can I tell you one of the craziest quotes I think I heard coming out of the combine was Dallas Cowboys head coach talked about his offense and changing coordinators, okay? And he said, well, I think that sometimes we just call plays too fast. He said, I don't need to be or want to be the number one offense in the NFL. I just want to win games. Like, yeah, but you can do both of those things, right?
Yeah.
Like I just feel like the Cowboys just make me scratch my head more times than not.
Maybe Mike's going to ask Jerry to call the plays. He'd like that.
Jerry would love to have a headset. You know, I'm honestly surprised Jerry doesn't have an earpiece that he can listen in, you know, and at least get the play call before. And so, anyway, but yeah, I think that, you know, McCarthy is just kind of all over the place. And now he's hired a new offensive coordinator, and then he said, but I'm going to call the plays this year, which sounds like a great idea.
Hey, great ideas as college hoops as we're coming down to the final games of the regular season. Conference tournaments looming large. And last night, Kansas State with a big senior night win over Oklahoma. A couple days ago, Kansas with a big senior night win. And they're coming down to what? Saturday's the final regular season games for these teams. And there are big ones tonight, like Wichita State at Houston. If I'm Shockers, I'm like, I'm going to shock the nation tonight, baby.
This is your chance, right? Like everybody,
the big stage.
Everybody's got their eyes on you. And again, I wouldn't be shocked if Wichita State could knock off Houston tonight in Houston. That's a 6 p.m. game. And for Kansas, Saturday, they're going to make their way to Austin. But they're going to leave the Big 12 trophy at Fog Allen. They don't have to take it with them because there's no chance now for Texas to get a share of that title.
And by the way, if you pay attention to, like, matchup predictions, Wichita State does have a 1.2% chance.
Yeah, see, and I think, you know, it's probably even higher than that. I watched Auburn take, Alabama all the way to overtime yesterday. This time of the year, you just can't push it off.
And a game that means less than it did a few days ago, Saturday, Kansas, number 3, is going to be at number 9 at Texas. No longer for the conference title.
Yeah, isn't that crazy, though, that, you know, just a few days ago, well, last week on Sportsbook, we were sitting there going, it's probably going to come down to that last game. And then Texas kind of rolls through this last week and stumbles and stutters, and Kansas, again, takes care of business and adds another trophy to the table.
K-State's going to go over and see our friend Bobby on Saturday at 1 o'clock, because it'll be Kansas State at West Virginia. And then the Big 12 tournament begins just next week.
Yeah, next Wednesday, March 8th, down in Kansas City. So it'll be kind of crazy. And this time next week, we'll be talking about games that, you know, were happening at the moment. So it's kind of crazy.
Royals, hey, their spring training is starting pretty good. It means absolutely nothing, but it makes you feel good to see them 5-1. I like it.
Yeah, they're 5-1. They seem like they've got some energy. They signed Jackie Bradley Jr. the other day because they're struggling for outfield help. Who would have thought that?
New rules. Do you like them? Hate them? Part of them? None of them? Where you at?
I like them. I like the pitch clock, right? Like, because I think it forces both sides to think fast, right? Like, it forces a pitcher to sit there and make a pitch, right? Like, come up with an idea, make a pitch. It allows the batter to just swing, right? Like, that's what you're in the box for. Let's swing. It's a little frustrating at the end of games. Like, the other day we had the game that ended bases loaded, down by one, and the pitch clock ran out, so the game ended on it. But I like it. I think people are going to adjust to it. Can I also tell you that I don't think it will be such a thing once the season gets started? We're just noticing it more now.
Talking to a good friend of mine who for many years has covered AAA baseball, where they've had all of these things for some years,
yep.
And he says, this is what it's supposed to do. It sped up the games. You're going to love it. In a few minutes, you're not even going to think about it. It's going to be integrated. It's going to be part of the game. He said that he would not have it any other way.
Well, the other day, the Royals had a spring training game where there were like 18 total runs scored, and it still got over in like 2 hours and 45 minutes. So, again, they're knocking about a half hour off the game. And can I tell you, the half hour that you're shaving off the game, it is stuff nobody really cares about anyway, like batters walking around, pitchers stepping off the mound.
Tightening up my batting gloves a little bit, now, the kicking one, the bat off my cleats. And
the one thing that I'm going to kind of miss, and just because it was fun, and maybe it's just a Royals fan and you think back to the World Series year, is that you can no longer do the crazy windups, right? Like the Johnny Cueto windups where he's, you know, rocking and moving and like it's get up there and throw.
And will we never see another Mark Fedrich?
The bird?
The bird.
There you go.
Because all that time spent talking to the baseball is gone. Yep. Hey, tonight, coming up very shortly, top of the hour, we're going to have a high school basketball here on Care Radio. It'll be the boys' games, Class 2A Substate at Horton. Girls' games, Class 2A Substate at Horton tomorrow night. Championships on Saturday next week. Off to the state tournaments. Got to thank Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance Exchange, Bank of Petro Convenience, our great Sport Look sponsors, until we greet you from the gym shortly. For Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.